The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Sabina Miller.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sabina. It's always a pleasure when you're on. Sabina and I are neighbors in Great Neck, but we only see each other here. So that's what life is. Our guest today is Lisa Gans, and Lisa is the Student Assistant Program Coordinator at the Long Island Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. And I didn't read the whole, I read it, but I didn't put it together as Lyke had.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I knew, I said, I know Lisa. And I know she's with an organization, but I go by the abbreviation or whatever it is.
Sure.
And I've actually taken a course there. It's a tremendous, tremendous organization. And good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you. Actually, that was my old position. I'm now the clinical supervisor. So I oversee all of LICAD's programs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Terrific. Actually, we met there was a Veterans Day here.
Mm-hmm.
That was announced on the radio. We had people from the veterans group. I don't remember the name of it, actually.
Yeah, it was Community Strong, actually.
Right, that's what it was, Strong, Community Strong.
Yep.
That was it. It was a whole-day event that was tremendous. And great turnout.
Very
and that's
important.
How, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to start talking, and I have the first question. I read all your stuff.
Okay.
And binge drinking has me confused.
Okay.
Because it put over 12 ounces a week.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Isn't binge drinking like the person who drinks just on Saturday night and doesn't drink all week long, or no?
That's a great question. So binge drinking itself, you know, they like to give you numbers, you know, number of drinks per body weight, per gender, per hours. But ultimately, binge drinking is a mindset. The mindset of, I'm going to go out tonight, I'm going to get completely annihilated. Like, I'm going to go out and drink to get drunk. You know, now, you can be someone who does that every day, or you can be someone who just does that on the weekends. But
okay,
ultimately, it's binge drinking means I'm going to sit down to drink. I'm going to go out to drink. With the intention of having some kind of mood-altering effect.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
And apparently there have been many studies done. When I think of binge drinking, mm-hmm. I think of college kids who go out on the weekend and say, oh, I got to get away from school. I got to block it out. And they drink for the weekend. Possibly it's carried over. But I don't see seniors as going, you know, mm-hmm. to a bar Saturday night, a widow or widower, and saying, just sit there and keep drinking.
Right.
Have there been studies done or in regard to the senior?
That's a great question. You know, the needs of people change, you know, as we get older. And we also have to consider, you know, the health of people who are drinking on top of medications and other things, other physical issues. So sometimes it's as we get older, we have to be mindful of our alcohol consumption, whether it's binging or not. Just in terms of what else are we taking? What other kind of medications are we on? How is our health? Sometimes it's not so much how much, but the effect that it's having on me at this point. But, you know, to my knowledge, I don't know any specific studies on seniors and binge drinking, but there's certainly an issue around alcohol consumption in seniors.
Well, I think that's one of the most important things. A younger person is drinking, and I shouldn't say nine. Most of the time, they're not on a lot of medications.
Right.
But a senior, you know, I know some people that are taking 10, 12 pills a day.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even understand the interactions. Now, on top of it, have two martinis, you could be wrecking havoc. And not even, you know, you may not be drunk.
Right.
I mean, you might be able to function and nobody knows you had that drink. But inside, what it's doing.
Sure. And it depends, too, on, you know, how long have I been at this? You know, did I start drinking in my 30s or did I, start drinking when I was 15?
And then, isn't it addictive? I have a friend who happens to be a college professor. And he is still working. He is 78. And he, you know, works all day long. And then he comes home and he says he sits down on the couch to watch the evening news. I just have a glass and a half of wine. And it relaxes me. But he's been doing that every day for the last 15 years.
Sure.
And when he goes away on vacation, I said, well, you get away from your routine. No. I just go in the end of the day in the sightseeing. Hmm. Now, is he not addicted?
That's another great question. So when we talk about substance use disorders, which is truly a mental illness, meaning people are not in their right state of mind, it's not so much about how much or even what people are using, but the effect it has. So there are people who can drink, you know, a glass of wine every day and be fully functional. You know, no health consequences, no physical consequences, no relationship consequences, no financial, you know, they're still getting to work. Right. That person isn't necessarily struggling with alcohol use. Another person could drink every day and never get to work, you know, spend all his money on that substance, have serious physical consequences, but the amount has been the same. So it's really not so much about how much, but what effect is it having? And when we start to look at, you know, the diagnostic statistical manual, which tells us how to diagnose, we're looking at how is this affecting people's life? And is it having a negative effect or is it having no effect? And at that point, we can look at, well, maybe is this something we should stop or moderate or intervene in? But it's really not about how much. It's about the effect that it has.
Actually, that's an interesting question or no, interesting point. When it comes to that, it's really also not the effect it's having on that person's life, but the people around that person.
That's
sometimes that person you're talking about who comes in quasi-dysfunctional, gets the job done, whatever it is, goes home. But it's kids, it's wife, husband, grandparent, whatever it has to be that ultimately suffer when they see what's going on too.
Right.
And that's hard to get somebody to pay attention to.
Right. That is part of the, you know, the assessment process in the clinical terms. You know, who else is affected by this? You know, who, and we call that interpersonal relationships. You know, is your drinking or drugging related to issues with your significant other or your parents or someone else you care about? Is it causing problems with relationships? That's something that we also look at.
But then again, there are an awful lot of seniors who live alone.
Mm.
And I think some of them, you know, I don't even want to say when they come home, they have a drink to whatever. But I think a lot of them don't go out and they don't have anything to do. And drinking puts them in a happy place, I think. It puts me to sleep.
Well, it is what we consider a depressant, meaning, you know, it has a depressing effect. So we've been trying to drink the blues away forever, but it really has an opposite effect.
Right.
And those are the people that I think we really worry about, which is the ones who are drinking on their own. So nobody else knows about it necessarily, and we don't know how much. And they're not necessarily telling their primary care physician when they go to
And how can you help them if they're not telling anybody?
Right.
Well, that's a major... I deal with a lot of seniors on a different level. And trying to get them to go out, though, is a whole different world. Because you can say, oh, it's depressing, it's this, it's that. It's like, well, we have a senior center in your town. I mean, the town of North Hempstead has so many organizations. Obviously, we'll talk about it later. But, you know, the 311, there's things people can do. I have no idea what is that impetus to get, like Sabina happens to be a person that's all over town, so which is tremendous. You're out every day.
I am. I'm involved.
And you get dressed every day, and she looks like a queen every time she goes out the door. And you have somebody else that doesn't get out of pajamas, and they're going to sit in the home.
I'm involved in 7 nonprofits, and I had an accident a while back and had an aide sitting in the chair, and I was there for 2.5 months. And it got to the point where I was saying, Janet, is it Tuesday or Wednesday? And she'd say, it's Thursday. If you know, I didn't know what day it was because I was in, everything was the same. I know where I am on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You have to have interaction. If you don't use it, you lose it. You got to have a reason to get up in the morning, and it shouldn't be for a shot of bourbon.
Sure, and that's at any age. You know,
at any age,
we need to find a purpose. And, you know, they say if you want to build self-esteem, you have to do esteemable acts. If you want to feel good about yourself, get involved in things. You know, with the digital age nowadays, we're also dealing with that with younger people. But, you know, at any age, it's so important that we interact socially and that we have something, like you said, to wake up for and look forward to.
What is the... And I'm sure this is not a very easily answered question. What is the couple of things that a senior or anybody, actually, you know, if it's working, it would work for a 30-year-old too. They have different life commitments at that point in time to try to focus on to get out of that rut. You know, if you turn around and I would assume, and maybe I'm wrong, and that you can correct me, 80% of people that have an addiction to alcohol or drugs know it. Maybe some don't. They'll say, no, I'm not, I'm fine. But I would have to think that 80% know I have an issue.
Sure.
You know, the second step that they need to do to get out.
Well, the first step is seek help. You know, acknowledge that something might be off and look for some guidance and support. You know, it's one of those diseases they say tells you don't have a disease. And that's where denial comes in. And a lot of times families also have denial, like not my son, not my daughter, not my father, not my mom. So part of it is, yes, acknowledging that something might be off or not working for me. But really it's about having goals, having interests, having things that are important to me that are now not so important because I've sacrificed that for my substance use. And that's usually when people start to look at, you know, well, you lost this and you lost that. You know, people don't change unless there's consequences.
Right.
Meaning, you know, whether that's I have no money.
Well, that's that whole hit bottom before they change
the
thing.
Crash. Yeah, but, you got to hit bottom. You know, not everyone does.
Right. That's my point.
Sometimes there's just one really important thing, like my wife, like my husband, who says they're going to leave me if I don't change something.
I was going to say, there are a lot of seniors that are in my position. Mm-hmm. I'm a widow. My daughter's in Alabama. My son is upstate. Mm-hmm. You know, if I die in my sleep, they're not going to find me for 3 weeks, and then they're going to smell me all over Great Neck. So, you know, well, I feel very good. That comforts me that somebody will know.
I thought you said you were involved in a lot of things. For well, 3 weeks, they're going to let you lay there?
I don't think they're going to miss me. It's okay. But, you know, there's got to be somebody who notices and approaches the senior and says, you know what? We got to make some changes here. Tell me what you like because I'm going to find you something you can do. You know, with a senior, it's not going to just come on one day.
Right.
My life is crap. I ought to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we find them to help them?
I mean, for the most part, there's at least one person that's either looking out for someone else or usually is involved. And that person, not that it's their responsibility, but usually it takes someone a couple of times saying, I think I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. Before people go, all right, maybe there's something to worry about. You know, part of the issue we run into too is nobody says anything. So people kind of suffer in silence or have their thoughts. And so I don't really want to get involved or, you know, maybe I'm overreacting and they just don't say anything.
Right.
Or, you know, the fear of stigma and what that means. But it's so important to at least get it out there and say, look, I think maybe you're drinking a little too much. Can we go out and do something else? Can we do something? And sometimes it's really hard for people who don't feel like they have a purpose or feel like they're kind of just done working
hard.
That's the hardest situation.
Every day is the same for them, and they're blocking out every day as opposed to saying, I need more in life and getting up and talking to the guy upstairs or the woman downstairs and say, what do you do all day? You're my contemporary.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, it's kind of about helping them find a motivation,
but
also not forcing it on people.
You can't force it.
People have a right to make their own choices at the end of the day, and sometimes we have to accept that as well.
No, but I think if people have a neighbor or a family member who's a senior who lives alone or may not live alone, I think when they look at them, they should kind of think about, are they okay? Can I be of any help?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we shouldn't assume that they want to be alone or assume they want to be left alone or assume that they're happy with what they're doing.
You can't force them. But what Sabina is saying, right, you can turn around and say, what are you doing tonight? There's something at the center. Would you like to go?
Right.
No, thank you. Okay. I'm going to lunch tomorrow with a couple of friends at the diner. Would you like to join us? No, I mean, that's, you have done your best to reach out and try to be a friend.
Why don't you come over to my place? There's a basketball on and I've got a big basketball game. I have a big television.
Yeah, no, I agree. Anything like that. But right now we have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP. We'll be right back.